You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Mama told me, son, go and play in the yard. Papa said, go and play, you gotta break your stomach, go and scream real hard. Go play in the yard. Woo! Go play in the yard. You gotta burn your stomach.
And welcome to it, our latest edition of Inside the Yard, a couple of Orioles broadcasters talking about the Baltimore Orioles. Brett Hollander along with Jeff Arnold. And Jeff, even though it's tough times right now for the big club, some great news this week that the farm system is not only being recognized among the best in baseball, it's gaining clear momentum around the game. Baseball America came out with their new rankings, and the Orioles are number 2 overall behind only Seattle, featuring in their minds the best prospect in baseball, Adley Rutschman, and the best right-hander in baseball, and Grayson Rodriguez. So pretty exciting stuff.
It's exciting, and let's not also forget about Colton Cowser, who is going to be joining us today, who just was selected with the number 5 overall pick this year. He's way up there. You have Connor Norby, Reed Trimble, John Rhodes, are just a bunch of guys that were also recently promoted to Delmarva. So immediately you're seeing these guys get into the Orioles system and they get a little bit of experience under their belt in the Florida Complex League, as long as the rain has cooperated. And then they're getting a chance to move up to Delmarva and get a taste of full season baseball and what it's like and some better competition. And then you're continuing to see progress from other areas of the farm as well, with guys having big years. You've seen some surprises in there as well. Maybe guys that aren't even in that prospect list. But it just goes to show how deep this system is. And we've talked about it before, Brett. You know, it wasn't that long ago where some of the guys who maybe be at the bottom of the system rankings or in the middle of the system rankings are guys that were at the top. So it just goes to show how much talent you've brought into your system. And I think that that's only going to grow, especially as you continue to establish your presence internationally. You get more involved in that market and you begin to see some of those players continue to grow and improve and get stateside.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the system, and you know, most rankings have Adley Rutschman, Grayson Rodriguez, D.L. Hall, and Gunnar Henderson in their top 100 list right now. Mind you, Mountcastle just graduated. He's having a terrific rookie year, so he's just off the list. And then there's probably 3 or 4 guys who I think are knocking on the door, Cowser being one of them, who will join us soon. Mike Bauman, we'll see how he finishes, but he might be nearing a list like that. Also, Jordan Westbrook's just having a sensational first full pro season. And Kyle Bradish. So it's an exciting list. And I think, Jeff, you know, I've watched the system and looked at it for a long time, as you have, and you've had to look at it very closely up front. There have been times where there have been some really exciting prospects come along. It's the depth that's different to me. And yes, when you have the number 1 prospect around, that's going to help. But there are guys who are like between 20 and 30 on this list that would have been between 5 and 10 a few years ago. And to me, that's the difference. There's depth. And there's some guys left off the top 30 list who undoubtedly would have been the top 10 or 15 some years gone by. So it's an exciting time in that sense, although we know it's a trying time right now in the major league, at the major league level.
And there are guys that are 10, 15 that are no longer on the list anymore that have shifted off of the list. And, you know, as you get good picks and you do your job to bring people into your system, it's good because you know that these are players that at some point could show up at Camden Yards, but these are also guys that you could be trading for and adding pieces to your organization, which, remember, you know, that's part of building your organization and establishing, you know, your presence at the major league level, is being able to use your farm system to help increase your level of talent and help address some of your needs at the major league level. And we've seen that take place at the deadline this year with some teams across the division. So I think it's a positive in multiple senses. And I think that it's only going to improve. And then it does seem like that among this group, not only have they shown that they're good prospects, but they've helped their teams win. And being able to get used to winning in the minor league level can only build that momentum and kind of get you used to what it's like. So that way, when you get to the major league level, you're able to do the same exact thing.
We have Colton Cowser coming up and also Rakubako, and we'll give our thoughts on the historic Field of Dreams game. But Birdland, experience a nose game with the convenience and privacy of your very own suite. A variety of affordable single game suites throughout the ballpark are available, Enjoy exclusive access to the game with climate-controlled interior seating, a private restroom, and comfortable outside seating. Visit Orioles.com/suites for more information. And with us right now, the Orioles' first-round pick in 2021, the fifth overall pick, Colton Cowser, outfielder playing center field right now for the Delmarva Shorebirds. And Colton, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you all for having me.
Before we get to your jump to Delmarva and that experience, tell me about the experience in the Florida Complex League where you hit the cover off the ball. I know a lot of rain and a lot of rain outs and things like that and a lot of heat. But what was it like getting your feet wet in professional baseball?
It was good to get down there and, you know, get to know the guys and really just start to play. I was really excited. You know, there's a little bit of some audibles going on with the rain and stuff, like you mentioned. But, you know, it was really good to get my feet wet and, you know, hit the ground running.
Take us back to that first game that you played in the Florida Complex League, because you got yourself off to a pretty great start.
Yeah, I was just trying to – I hadn't seen a pitch in like 2.5 months, you know, live pitch. So I was just trying to, you know, be a little slow in the box and, you know, get my swing off. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to do that, you know, saw some good pitches to hit.
You got to come to Camden Yards with Connor Norby, the Orioles' second pick in the 2021 draft. And you got to take BP in the field. I know, see some of the current major league players and the manager, Brandon Hyde, obviously the general manager, Mike Elias. What was that experience like? And your thoughts on being at Oriole Park?
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, I got to get out there and I didn't really know what to expect. I know we flew up from Florida and then got to experience the ballpark, got there early and did some media stuff. First time I've ever really, you know, done full on media. How about that? And then I got to go get dressed and, you know, take BP on the field. And it was really fun just to, you know, see how those guys go about their business and, you know, get to talk with them and, you know, pick their brains. And, you know, it's always fun to, you know, hit in a big league park like that and, you know, get to enjoy the rest of the night with my family and stuff. So it was really exciting.
Outside of some of the rain that you guys dealt with in the Florida Complex League, I mean, rain in Florida during the summer, that never happens. But how has the professional experience compared to what you thought it was going to be?
Well, I knew it was going to rain in the complex league. How about that? But you know, it's been fun. You know, a lot of the things are, you know, you're kind of reliant on yourself. So you really have to be a professional, and that's something that you know, in college, you know, they're not going to walk you through it. But you know, it's not an adjustment period. I feel like I did it pretty well in college, but you know, it's been kind of what I expected it. You know, I know it's going to be a lot of games in a week, 6 games a week. So it's always about staying on top of your body and top of your health. So that's something that, you know, everyone can continue to work on.
Colton, you went to Sam Houston State and you were the fifth overall pick. A lot of the mocks had you, you know, I guess in like the 8 to 12 range, and the Orioles grabbed you at 5. And do you think if you went to Vanderbilt or a program like that, that you, there would have been no doubt that you would have been a top 5 pick? Do you think that was, at least in the minds of some to do mocks, held against you in some way?
I think it depends on which way you look at it. You know, I think yes and no. I think that if I never did go to Sam Houston, I wouldn't have been put in the position I would be, you know, after my freshman year when I got the opportunity to go play on Team USA, the collegiate national team, as a freshman. I think that really kind of, I guess, put me on the map. And then after that, you know, it just came down to performing. You know, I think that if you perform at any level, at a high level, then, you know, scouts and, you know, teams like that are going to take notice. So, you know, I think it depends which way you look at it. I think from an outsider looking in, you know, it's probably an absolute yes. But, you know, personally, I really don't think so, just because I did get the opportunity to go in right away and make an impact.
Colton, I was looking at your college hitting coach, Sid Holland, and all the impressive guys that he's worked with, a lot of major leaguers in that group. How did he make you a better hitter and better prepare you for professional baseball?
Yeah, you know, Sid, he's someone I've hit with since I was 8 years old. Me and his son were pretty much best friends. He's with the he's with Cleveland, the organization, and you know, we grew up playing together. But you know, he played professional baseball. He kind of always told me what it was about, and then just tried to mold me into, like, you know, a professional hitter, not just a one-dimensional hitter. And I think that's something that I've done my whole life and will continue to do.
I don't want to get too deep into your experience with Delmarva. We record this on Wednesday morning. You played one game with the Shorebirds, but what's really exciting, I think, for Orioles fans, that lineup was full of 2020 and 2021 draft picks, mostly college players at this point. You're in the middle of the lineup playing center field. And it's not unreasonable to think that in a few years, a lot of those guys are going to be playing at Camden Yards. But for you, when you look around, and a lot of these guys, you know, in passing through collegiate baseball, what do you see as far as talent goes?
Yeah, you know, we have a great group out here. And I think what really, you know, helped us get off on the right foot was, you know, we did get to go down to Florida all together. And, you know, it was really cool for us to all come up and, you know, start playing at the same time. And, you know, we have great chemistry, and we're just trying to go out there and have fun and, you know, make the most of it. And I think that's, you know, we're a really carefree group right now and just kind of feeding off each other. But, you know, we have a great, great group of kids. I think Kobe was the only high school kid in the lineup yesterday. And, you know, he's kind of a freak when you look at him. He's a large man. But, you know, I think it helps, you know, when you have a lot of college experience, you know, these guys played a full season already and, you know, get to come out and, you know, finish strong.
Well, I looked at your college stats. You finished with 76 walks to 70 strikeouts in your college career. And one of the things that I think you noticed is the Orioles were doing their drafting is to find not only really talented position players, but guys who could walk a lot, which is something that obviously you need to have good discipline when you're facing some of the teams you're facing in the American League East. Where does your plate discipline and command of the strike zone come from? Have you always been a patient hitter, or is that something that has developed later on in your baseball life?
You know, I think college, you know, my freshman year, I tried to, you know, start being more patient, start looking for a good pitch to hit. You know, I was, you know, in high school, I would always kind of expand, you know, if the pitch was real close, I was swinging at it no matter what. And, you know, I still do that some days. It just depends on who's throwing and, you know, what they have. But yeah, I definitely think that developed in college, just more of a patient but aggressive mindset, you know, not swinging anything out of the zone, but, you know, being real aggressive when it's in the zone. And so, yeah, I think that's kind of where that comes from.
Colton, did you play other sports in high school?
I played football through my sophomore year. And then I went ahead and I felt like baseball was going to give me the best opportunity to, you know, make something of myself. How about that?
What position did you play in football?
I played, I guess I played defense. I played outside linebacker and safety. And then I guess I did a little bit of long snapping as well, just because, you know, my brother did that whenever he was playing football. He was a center. So I went ahead and mixed it up a little bit.
Who are a couple of baseball players that you like to watch that you try and model your game after?
Yeah. You know, when it comes to watching baseball, I guess there's one specific guy that comes to mind is I love watching Michael Brantley hit. You know, just being from Houston, I, you know, get to watch a lot of their games when I'm back home. And then, you know, another guy is Yelich, just because we kind of have the same body type. But, you know, I don't necessarily, you know, watch his games a lot, but I do see a lot of highlights and stuff. So those are two guys I'd say that I like watching, you know, both lefty hitters as well.
And then as far as playing center field, I mean, everyone seems to think that you could stick and stay there. Is that important to you, or do you feel you could play all three positions in the outfield?
Yeah, it's definitely important just to, you know, I think that I have the skill set to stay in center field, but I also think it's important to have the ability to play each outfield position as well. It's all about bringing different tools to the team and where you can be most productive.
Now that you've reached Delmarva, what are some goals that you've set for yourself for the very end of the season? What are you trying to accomplish before the year's over?
Yeah, you know, I really haven't thought about too many goals right now, but I guess you always have them in the back of your head. But, you know, the biggest thing for me is just go out there and have fun and, you know, with the group of guys that we do have. And then the numbers will kind of take care of themselves. You know, I'm not too number oriented, I guess you could say. It's all about, you know, the experience and how much fun you're having.
So you just became the fifth overall pick in the Major League Baseball draft. Did you treat yourself to anything, Colton?
Everyone keeps asking me that, but no, I haven't really done anything yet. I guess the only thing I really have done is, you know, got a pair of sunglasses. That's about it. But, you know, I wore them all the way up on the drive up from Florida. So
something tells me they're going to be handing those out to you for free pretty soon.
Maybe, but you know, I had to get myself a nice pair. But
it's a good gift for yourself.
I haven't really treated myself too much.
When you got drafted, I'll say this the last one for me. When you got drafted, how many text messages and calls did you receive? And was there maybe any that were really cool that you got that stood out maybe from guys with the Orioles or from other big league teams?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy, I guess. You know, after I got drafted, and everything, once the dust settled, I kind of had my phone on the table. And then I had the hat, and the hat was actually kind of tight, so I took it off. I guess it's the wrong size. And then, you know, I had my hat over my phone, didn't check it for about 5 minutes, and I looked at it, and I had, like, over 150-plus just kind of rolling in. But, no, I didn't really have anyone, like, you know, hit me up too much. I Ryan O'Hearn from the Royals, who is someone that he went to Sam Houston. He shot me a text, which was pretty cool. But, no, that's pretty much it.
Colton, it's time now for our Fun Five baseball questions. Are you ready?
I guess so.
What is your favorite baseball movie?
Oh, you know, I would have to say Field of Dreams because it was just on.
Beautiful.
I mean, I watched it right before that game. It was pretty awesome.
What was your high school senior year batting average?
Oh, wow. I mean, I sat in a while. I think it was like 405.
Okay. How many bombs?
Only five.
Okay. Most influential baseball person in your life?
I would have to say Sid Holland and my parents.
I'm not going to ask you what we usually ask here, which is your favorite minor league city to play or visit. You've been to Sarasota and Salisbury, Maryland, so that's kind of a silly question right now. We can ask that when you come back on next year. But I'll ask you this. Tell us how your first grade teacher would describe Colton Cowser.
Oh, wow. First grade teacher. I apologize. I don't even think I remember my first grade teacher's name. Wow. But probably just a really goofy kid who didn't – she wasn't very coordinated. How about that?
Name one talent you have outside of baseball or hobby.
I can ride a unicycle. That's
wow.
It.
Mm.
That's about – and hobby, I like to do a bunch of, you know, woodworking stuff, you know, building stuff.
Cool. What kind of stuff do you build?
Just whatever needs to be done around the house, really.
How'd you find out you could ride a unicycle? How did you figure that one out?
In middle school, one of my friends actually had a unicycle, and then we all just taught me how to ride it. And then I ended up getting one and ended up growing out of it and haven't rode one in a while. But, you know, I think it's just like riding a bike. Am I right?
I don't know.
We'll see.
I really don't. I've never.
Brett and I aren't coordinated enough.
I'm not coordinated enough. I would never try riding a unicycle. I don't think it would end well.
It's not as hard as you think. You either fall forward or backwards, but you don't ever really fall to the sides.
Colton Cowser, we appreciate it. Best of luck, best of health, and it's great to see you already moving up in the system.
I appreciate it. Thank y'all for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
Get all the best Orioles ticket deals in one place, including single game tickets, ticket packs, special offers, and more. We got you covered at the Orioles Ticket Marketplace. This is your place to score exclusive deals, so check back often for the latest opportunities. Don't wait to purchase last minute at the box office. Ticket prices are the same at Orioles.com/tickets to purchase.
And Jeff, for our insider segment, we turn to the one and only Rock Kubako of MassinSports.com. And Rock, it's great to see you. How are you?
Good. And I am the one and only because nobody else wants to be me, sadly, is what I've discovered. So I am the one and only. There's not a long line forming. I want to be Rock Kubako.
I would like some rock strength. Some rock strength.
Popeye.
I'll put
rock
you on a
workout
program.
Jeff is going to do the rock workout plan in the offseason, and hopefully he's still going to be with us for next year.
Two words, medium t-shirts. That's the key. Makes it look a lot bigger.
Yeah, I tried to put on my new Cedric Mullins t-shirt the other day, and it was a little tight for me, but it would be perfect for you, Rock.
There we go. Cut the sleeves, obviously.
Cut the sleeves. I might just rock it anyway. Speaking of Cedric Mullins, the 20-game hitting streak is over, but, of course, the next day he gets a base hit and keeps doing what Cedric Mullins has been doing all year long. I think hands down the most impressive, surprising, incredible story of the 2021 campaign. And in many ways, it couldn't happen to a more important figure in the sense that he's 26. He plays great center field and he's from the farm system and he's someone the club can build around for a long time, hopefully, Rock.
Yeah. And it says a lot about his mental strength, which you can't downplay at all. I mean, this doesn't happen if he had allowed himself to be broken by that demotion a couple of years ago when he was supposed to be the next center fielder replacing Adam Jones and ends up in AAA in April, ends up in Bowie, and we don't see him that entire season then. I mean, that could have broken a lesser man, and instead he just kept working hard. And anybody you talk to, college coach, teammates, former current managers, whatever, will tell you that they knew he would be fine. But a lot of players wouldn't have been. He didn't lose confidence. He made the adjustments he needed to, worked with a hitting instructor in the offseason, adhered to the plan that the Orioles set for him, agreed finally to give up switch hitting, had the confidence to know that he could hit lefties from the left side of the plate. It wasn't a disadvantage for him. All those things, he never doubted himself, and now here he is. And it's no longer a small sample size. He's legit. He's your everyday center fielder. He's your leadoff hitter. You don't think about trading him. They didn't think about it anyway. But let's reiterate, you don't think about trading Cedric Mullins. He's your starting center fielder in 2022. And what's interesting is, we thought for years, and so the Orioles, that would be Austin Hayes. They are totally fine having Hayes in left or right field and backing up in center as long as they can just keep him healthy. And that's really two-thirds of an outfield that's plus defensively, plus speed. It offers a lot in the field, at the plate, on the bases.
Rocky, I think we have a sense as to what the outfield can be. There are a lot of questions in the middle infield still for the Orioles, and we're not exactly sure if they're going to maybe go out and get a traditional shortstop for next year. If maybe somebody like Freddy Galvis comes back into the organization, you know, after he got traded to the Phillies. But for Jorge Mateo, what do you think he can be? What have you thought about him so far? It's a small sample size. He's flashed at times, but for Jorge Mateo, what do you think his future with the Orioles could look like?
I think at the least he can be a utility guy, which is what he basically was with the Padres, but he didn't really get much of a chance to play. He has a better chance of being a starter somewhere in this organization, obviously. But I think at the very least, he could be that guy that plays the middle infield. I'm sure he could get play some third base for you. He can play the outfield plus speed. I mean, Scout's greatest speed is an 80. That scale is 20 to 80. It doesn't go any higher than that. So that alone and a strong arm, which we've seen at short, I think can make him a super utility type. But, you know, he has an opportunity to break camp next year as the second baseman, could be as the shortstop. I mean, this is what these last however many weeks are about, really, besides trying to, you know, end losing streaks, is to get a read on these guys, experiment, play him every day, play Richie Martin as much as you can at short and at second, and see whether they're your double play combination. You don't have to go out and get a veteran shortstop on a 1 year million, whatever deal with, you know, incentives and a trade clause and anything else. Maybe you've already got him in house. Urias, we know, or Urias can be, depending where you put the accent, can also be a utility guy. But I feel like you've already seen enough of him. You know what you've got with him. Pull back some, unless you want to play him some at third, because Franco's not going to be back. And just play those two guys in the middle. And Mateo, I really think there is a place for him. You know, it's a luxury if you could say, hey, we'll carry him just as a pinch runner for nothing else. The Orioles don't have that luxury. They need to be able to use him in other ways. But I think he could be a utility guy. I think he could be maybe a starter. He's definitely swinging the bat better for them than he has. We'll see if he can sustain that. But the other tools tell me that high ceiling, three-time top 100 prospect. That's why you bring him into the organization and you keep playing him.
Rock, before we get into the Orioles' new Baseball America ranking of number two, highest in club history by far, and behind only the Seattle Mariners, a lot of promotions yesterday announced by the team. And I think there's a feeling by some fans, just because maybe Adley's not in the big leagues or maybe Grayson's not in AAA, that they're moving guys along slowly. But when it comes to their college hitters who are hitting, They're not moving slowly. Jordan Westberg, who had not played professional baseball really until this past spring, has gone from Delmarva to Bowie in a single season and in a very short amount of games. Colton Cowser already is going to Delmarva. Connor Norby, these are just drafted guys, are already going to Delmarva. So if you're a college hitter, you're moving in this organization. Of course, we know about the recent promotion of Adley to AAA, where, by the way, he's hitting the cover off the ball.
He is. I mean, that's why, you know, it's case-by-case basis. You know, Gunnar Henderson wasn't included in that last boatload of promotions because, you know, he's cooled off at Aberdeen, which is fine. He'll eventually move up to Bowie with Westberg. But it depends on how they're hitting. And, yeah, the college guys, and there's been a lot of emphasis on them in the draft. You know, you take them in part because you think they can move quickly and speed up the rebuild and don't require as much work. They're more polished, all of the logical things you'd expect from a college hitter over high school. So they will move these guys for sure. But as long as, again, that they're hitting, although the guy like Norby, the second rounder, he really wasn't hitting much in the Florida Complex League, but they still felt like that was just get your feet wet, that he was playing a level below where he should as an accomplished college hitter. There's no short season Aberdeen anymore. So you start them out there, let them, you know, get their feet wet literally because there's a rain out like every single day down there. And then you go ahead and move them up. So, but yeah, it is kind of an individual thing where if a guy's really looking like he's, you know, struggling some, then you hold him back, but then the next opportunity they can move up. And it seems like it's promotion Monday or whatever catchy name we're given for it. Every Monday there's another batch. And that was a huge one this past Monday.
Well, Brett mentioned the Baseball America rankings checking in at number two. It's obviously really encouraging because I think everybody's sort of looking for something to hang their hat on and some reasons to be encouraged about, you know, the direction and where everybody is going here with the Orioles. But, you know, for a number two ranking, how significant is this? And are you confident that these rankings are eventually going to be able to translate to wins at the major league level?
It's very important. I don't know how confident I am right now because obviously, you know, it's great to have these guys, you know, getting this kind of recognition and doing what they're doing, but there's never a guarantee they're going to come up to the majors and make a huge impact. That's the plan. And if it doesn't happen, then you're destroyed. Like that's like the worst nightmare of the front office and every Oriole fan. But in the meantime, I didn't know in my lifetime I would see an Orioles prospect list or a prospect list where the Orioles were second. I saw 30 an awful lot, 28, 29, 30. When they got below 30, it was a big deal, let alone second. I think Fangraphs might have them first. A lot of that is because, you know, top heavy with the best position player and best pitcher, but it's also that depth they have with someone like a Westberg and guys that they've drafted, guys that are moving up, and the promise of the pitchers, the DL Hall and the others. But they still have to stay healthy. And if you look at the Orioles top 30 prospect list, there's a lot of guys that aren't playing because they've been hurt. They've been shut down. But if they can stay healthy and keep trending the way they are, you have to feel really good about this. Because as much as the losing streaks hurt, as much as you lose patience over these lopsided losses and everything else, the number one most important thing in this rebuild is what's happening on the farm. So to say that all of a sudden they have the number two system, if Mike Elias had told you in his introductory presser that, hey, in year three, even without a minor league season in 2020, we'll be ranked first or second all of baseball in our system, people would have been doing handstands and calling him a liar. And here it is, it has happened. So it's the number one most important thing going on. You just obviously wish that the product on the field right now wasn't what it is.
We'll end it right there. And I'm going to go eat some spinach because I feel bad about myself after talking to you, Rock.
All right, don't feel bad. I'm not here to make you feel bad about yourself.
That is MassinSports.com's Rock Kubacka. Rock, we appreciate it.
My pleasure.
The Orioles, along with the Maryland Department of Health, will host on-site vaccination opportunities during all remaining home games at Oriole Park this season. All fans ages 18 and over who choose to receive one dose Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine will receive a voucher good for two complimentary lower-level tickets. No appointments necessary. Learn more by visiting Orioles.com/vaccine.
Well, Jeff, it was an historic night last Thursday, a week ago, and we talked about in our last podcast the Field of Dreams game between the White Sox and Yankees. And obviously the game was special by just the nature of the on-field game, in the sense it was an exciting walk-off, a back-and-forth game, two teams playing for a pennant. You couldn't have scripted it any better. That's been well-documented. And it was a huge success for baseball. It's the kind of place, I think, baseball and pro sports kind of need to be, in that sphere of being creative and trying new things and taking risks and taking chances. And I'm never going to apologize, Jeff, for being a sap or nostalgic for baseball or the movie Field of Dreams. So that was just personally in my all-time wheelhouse. And it was such a wonderful production by Fox and Major League Baseball. They couldn't have done any better. The intro, how it looked, how it presented on television, just wonderful.
I think that you got to find ways to grow the game and ways to bring baseball to places where there is no Major League Baseball. And bringing it to Iowa was, I think, huge. And if you're going to bring it to Iowa, well, where else would you bring it? You'd bring it to the Field of Dreams. And to me, it's one of the best things that Major League Baseball has ever done. I think that that game represented what America is. And I think it was something that everyone could rally around. And what the Field of Dreams movie is, and Kevin Costner was on the broadcast, it's not just a baseball movie. It's a movie about Americana. And it's a movie about relationships between fathers and sons and families and things like that. And I think it gets us to feel some stuff that, you know, you're going to feel more from watching a movie like that than you are from just your typical baseball movie. And so for Major League Baseball to connect with the Field of Dreams complex and to bring two teams there to play the game, I think it was a slam dunk that you're going to go back there next year. And it's glad to see, I'm glad to see that that's happening. And on top of that, the game was just incredible. It looked great. You know, you're seeing all these home runs flying to the cornfields, which I thought made for a really entertaining game. It finished with Tim Anderson hitting a walk-off home run, and then just the entrance and people coming out through the cornfields, very similar to how that movie finished. I don't think it could have been any better. And I think Major League Baseball needs to be on the lookout for ways they continue to grow the game by bringing baseball to places where there is no Major League Baseball, and bringing it to places like, you know, Field of Dreams, Little League World Series, things like that. That's how you grow the game. That's what people can rally around. And you know what? For the players, it makes it a lot of fun too, because to be part of something like that is something you'll never forget.
I've watched the intro to that broadcast like 15 times. It's so well done, so well coordinated. Costner does an amazing job. You can tell the players are so into it. And, you know, you said everything correct, Jeff, and how you assess the meaning of that movie. Very few things in our society nowadays withstand the test of time, just as James Earl Jones said in his monologue. Yeah, baseball does, and has for, you know, over 150 years here. And that movie, even by movie standards, we're talking about something that came out in the late 1980s. And now we're playing a baseball game in that same space, and it's getting the reaction it got. And we love to criticize those in charge of professional sports or Major League Baseball. Well, sometimes they also deserve a lot of credit. And this is one of those cases where it seems like everyone unanimously has said, well done, Major League Baseball, for that broadcast, that game. And it's what's next, of course, but they've tried other things on military bases. And of course, they're going to have one in Williamsport, and they had some other really creative novel ideas, and this is just the latest. But this one, personally for me, because it is one of my all-time favorite movies, was just extraordinary. So well done, baseball. That does it for our edition of Inside the Yard, with some special help from Violet and May Hollander in the broadcast studio on this, as we record Wednesday morning. So thank you to them. It's been a pleasure. For Jeff Arnold, I'm Brett Hollander. Thanks for joining us Inside the Yard.